Look around. What do you see? Cars. Lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on Auto Trader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan, leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped, self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on Auto Trader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars, used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh. There's Mr. Chuck, and there's Ms. Jerry over there. That's MSTU sucka. This is, like I said, Short Stuff.
Buckle up, everyone.
Yeah, for the turbulent edition of Short Stuff.
Have you ever had a bad, like a really bad?
No, not turbulence? Really bad. No.
Yeah, I haven't either.
You know, there's actually a classification for that. It's not called really bad. It's called extreme or severe. But there's three types of turbulence. There's light turbulence, yeah. You know, it's the kind that kind of shakes like your drink a little bit. And you're sure. Like, oh, I'm going with this again.
Right.
There's moderate, which is like your drink is now spilling out
right.
of your cup.
Yeah.
And then there's severe. And that is like the kind where people get hurt sometimes, very rarely die. But I saw photos of a plane ride from Santa Ana up to Seattle, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a Delta flight, and the drink cart was on its side.
Yeah.
And like they had been serving drinks, and the plane just hit turbulence, took a 200-foot nosedive, and apparently one of the flight attendants and the drink cart were on the ceiling and then just came down. So it can get pretty bad, but that's very, very rare, it turns out.
Yeah. So if you haven't picked up on it, we're talking about airplane turbulence, and specifically when a pilot knows when they come on there and say, you know, hold on to your butts, everyone. Here we go.
Yeah.
In the next 10 minutes. I've always wondered, like, what the deal was.
Well, now we know.
Now we know, and we can just bother every passenger next to us till the end of time.
Right. I mean, you know how they realize, you know, when they make this announcement.
Yeah, if you really want to get somebody sleeping next to you on an airplane's attention, don't just kind of elbow them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just slowly increase the pressure of your pointy elbow in their rib cage until they wake up. That'll get them talking.
Yeah, and regardless, like you said, of how bad it gets, it's usually not that big of a deal. As far as planes go, they're made to take it. I know sometimes if you're sitting on the wing and looking out,
oh yeah,
it can be a little distressing seeing those things almost flapping, but they're meant to move a little.
They're supposed to do that.
Yeah, so don't worry. The wing is not going to snap off, most likely.
No, remember when we talked about cars and how it seems like they're made terribly today because they come apart?
Yeah.
But they're actually designed like that to make them like easier to take a crash? Same thing with the plane. If it were just completely rigid and brittle,
that's no good.
Then the wing might actually snap off. So it's supposed to flap a little bit in turbulence.
Yeah, and the other part of that is injuries. The FAA said 44 injuries in 2016, due to turbulence, 900 plus million people flying. That is not a lot of injuries.
Yeah, I think the most
exceedingly rare.
Like there was 13 in 2013. Oddly, there was 17 in 2017. And between 1980 and 2008, there were only 3 deaths from turbulence. So it is very, very rare. And one of the reasons it's not way worse and it's actually getting even better is because pilots are able to predict where the turbulence is coming because
yeah.
Number one, they're trained to see signs of it.
Sure.
But also, there are an entire network of people on planet Earth back down on the ground who are working to let those pilots know what places to avoid and why.
Yeah. So when they go to take off, there's a few types of turbulence to look out for. Convective, that is, you know, kind of the standard thunderstorm turbulence that you might expect.
Yeah, like when air on the Earth's surface gets warm, it rises, and it can create clouds as it carries water vapor up and cools. And the taller the cloud, the more turbulent there is in there.
That's right. Then there's mountain wave turbulence, and that's when air is just literally cresting over the top of a mountain in a wave like you would see in the ocean.
Yeah, because it's all fluid. I mean, air and water, they're both fluid, you know? So, of course, they would break like that. You don't want to get your little plane caught up in a breaking air wave.
No. And then finally, you have the clear air turbulence, and that's the toughest to predict because it's not like you see a big mountain range or lightning popping off in the foreground.
Right.
That is just air colliding with warm air and cold air colliding with one another.
Yeah, so it forms jet streams, right? And that can be problematic because the difference in the direction that the wind's moving in, the speed it's moving in, can really wreak havoc on your plane. And when you're cruising through a patch like that very quickly, all of those little bumps and jostles and turns come together to make what we think of as turbulence.
That's right. So that is what turbulence is. Let's take a little break here, and we're going to talk about how these pilots can avoid it.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
If you want to know, then you're in luck. Just listen up to Josh and Chuck, stuff you should know.
So before they even take off, they have started avoiding turbulence. When they get their flight plan together, they don't just say, you know, we're flying from Atlanta to L.A., so let's just, you know, take a left turn after takeoff
right. And
fly west until we get to L.A.
Maybe even take a nap.
Yeah, it's a very, you know, it's very planned out. And although they can't predict every bit of turbulence, they can certainly say, well, we know there's a mountain range here and there is a thunderstorm going on here. So we're going to set our flight plan accordingly.
Right, exactly.
So they start off on the right foot.
Yeah. They also have like little handy weather maps, too, because storms can develop even after you've already taken off that weren't predicted. And they can also line up, too. So you might have to choose what storm you actually have to go through.
Yeah, if you have to.
Right. And so they have weather instrumentation that makes it real simple to choose. Like a storm up ahead that's yellow says, if you have a green alternative, choose the green one. Ones that are red, it says you're going to have to course correct.
It sounds like Doppler.
Basically.
Yeah.
And when you course correct, you basically have to get in touch with air traffic control and say, hey, I know we weren't planning on going up an extra 10,000 feet, but I need to fly over this turbulence for a little while. And they'll say, do it. And you fly up.
Yeah.
And you go over the turbulence. And you say, can I come back down now? And they're like, we've been waiting for you to ask, buddy. Come on back down. And you go back down to your original flight plan.
Or you may not. Or they may say, you know what? Since you went this far out of the way to avoid this thing, why don't you just take this course instead?
Right.
And you have a new flight plan after that.
Exactly.
You got to be nimble. Up there.
You got to be quick.
When you have your hands on the sticks.
Right.
Isn't that what they call them?
Yeah.
Sticks?
I think so. I'll bet they do call them sticks. Can't you see pilots calling them that? He's sure. Like, ladies and gentlemen, got my hands on the sticks.
I've never heard that.
You haven't?
Not from a pilot to a passenger.
Oh, okay.
I think that doesn't leave the cockpit, you know.
I got you.
What that, happens in the cockpit.
That's cockpit talk.
So the mountain turbulence, that is pretty easy to predict because mountains are there.
Sure.
And if a pilot has flown past the Rockies or the Andes or any big mountain range, they probably already know what to expect there and have routed their plane in such a way where they're not going to get the worst of it.
They can also tell by the clouds that are there.
Sure.
There's some called lenticular clouds, which are lens-shaped, but I think it actually kind of traces the contour of a wave. But in cloud form, you can be like, well, I'm going to stay out of there because there's breaking waves of wind right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's things they can do visually. The problem is the clear air turbulence. I mean, they don't call it clear air for nothing.
The silent killer.
Exactly. And, I mean, it really is like it can be really, really rough, not just because it comes out of nowhere, but because the differences in speed between one spot and another are so pronounced that it can really jar and jostle you.
Yeah, for those, the thing, and this is kind of cool, the thing they count on the most is talking to other pilots. There's a lot of planes up there.
Right.
And chances are, if you're flying anywhere in the United States, there's another plane on more or less your route just a few minutes ahead of you.
Right.
And so they're always in touch with one another. It's not even, you know, they share information. It's not like a Delta pilot won't be like, hey, the Southwest guy's behind us, but don't tell him what's up.
Right, exactly. This is going to knock really their socks off.
So they're always warning each other about what to expect, how bad it is, whether or not you need to really alter your route or maybe just park it at a certain altitude.
Right. And so when they get this info, they'll say, ladies and gentlemen, please put your seatbelts on, get out of the bathroom, flight attendants, put them carts up, I think is how they put it. That's in pilot lingo.
And that's usually when somebody gets up. It's like, oh, I really need to go.
That's the moment I'm like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're not getting up, and even if they aren't telling you to put your seatbelt on, if you're just sitting in your seat, you should always keep your seatbelt on just because there is such a thing as clear air turbulence.
I'm bad about that.
That catches everybody by surprise.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like floating up against the ceiling, which is bad enough for you, but you can also come down on other poor unsuspecting travelers too.
It's I don't like know about floating.
People who
it's more like smashing into the ceiling.
For a moment.
Yeah.
It's like people who don't wear the seatbelt in the back seat. It's like
that's me too.
You're not just putting your own life in danger when you get in a head-on collision. You're flying forward past the people in the front who did have their seatbelts on, and your feet and your fists and your head are taking their heads off with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to wear your seatbelt in the back seat, Chuck.
So they get about, if they're talking to other pilots in the air, they get a 5 to 10 minute warning. If they're getting a warning from the ground, that's about 20 minutes, up to 20 minutes. So that's plenty of time. That's why it works so well. That's why you don't get more severe cases of turbulence because everyone's in contact at all times, making sure that you don't feel the worst of it.
Right.
Which is great.
They also figured out that you can't put two planes too close together because planes create wake, and that creates turbulence.
Sure.
And they figured that out the hard way. Apparently, planes have crashed from following too close, coming in for a landing.
Don't do it on the road either.
No. Certainly not. Although, apparently, it does save your gas mileage.
Oh, drafting?
Yeah, behind like a semi or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they do it in NASCAR.
Right.
But it's not safe.
No, it's
don't,
not.
Don't do it.
You're no NASCAR driver.
No.
Unless you are a NASCAR driver listening to this, in
that's
which
true.
Case.
Draft just, away.
You know what you're doing. Well, thanks for joining us on Short Stuff. We love you.